I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies. Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The WBEN All Local. All Local. A daily look at what's happening in Buffalo, Western New York, and the world.
I'm Susan Rose.
I'm Brian Mazurowski.
Here's the latest on the suspected shooter near President Trump Saturday night at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. The shooter was not injured. Police say 31-year-old Cole Thomas Allen of California was armed with multiple weapons when he rushed a security checkpoint outside the hotel ballroom where the dinner was being held.
Officials say 31-year-old Cole Allen, after leaving his hotel room with a duffel bag containing multiple weapons, went down 10 flights of stairs at the Washington Hilton, and then he's seen sprinting by Secret Service personnel. A burst of gunfire followed before he was tackled on the floor after the confrontation.
I think the NFL should sign him up. He was fast.
President Trump describing to 60 Minutes how the chaos unfolded.
We heard a big bang, and it was either a gunshot or it was a tray of dishes, which happens a lot in ballrooms. And I was hoping it was a tray, but it wasn't.
The president and first lady at that moment were speaking with the evening's entertainer, Oz Perlman.
I wanted to see what was happening.
Trump says he slowed down the Secret Service's push to evacuate them from the room.
Cole Allen, due to be arraigned today in Washington, D.C.
The Sabres run up the score on the Bruins in Game 4.
Here's a steal. Pass back. Krebs scores! That is grand theft at its best. And the Sabres score the first goal of Game number 4 to take a 1-0 lead. How about Peyton Krebs?
Yeah, how about the Sabres? 6-1. Buffalo over Boston to take a 3-1 series lead. Six different Sabres scored a goal in that game. You're getting it from just about everybody.
Fast start. I mean, it was just one after another.
Incredible stuff. Lindy Ruff on What Went Right.
Yeah, I just feel, Paul, was like the previous game. You know, we're the next man was right there on every pass. You know, I think we had good legs. We had good energy. When you have good energy, you get to places. Our feet were moving. I think that's the biggest deal. Our feet were moving. We weren't standing around. Our anticipation of where pucks were going was really good. We were back on top of them, so most of the passes they had to make had to go through us. And we created the turnovers that led to scoring opportunities.
Yeah, and right from the jump, the Sabres were all over them. Buffalo now has the chance to close out the series on home ice tomorrow night. Puck drop set for 7:30.
Yeah, Boston couldn't do anything right last night.
It was all Sabres all the time. They looked the part, and you're just fingers crossed to see that again tomorrow night, be able to close out a series on home. Buffalo has not won a playoff series since 2007, second round beating the Rangers, so it's been a long time coming.
And the Sabres win brings them another step closer to their goal.
Sox has got the puck.
Hey! Great points. Al, hell of a job all around. Great win. Let's do it again, boys.
Jason Zucker placing the game puck in the team's custom playoff puck holder, which has been shared by the Sabres on social media. WBEN's Jim Fink talked to the person who made it about seeing his work on display.
From his Lewiston workshop, Dan Buttrey has made what he hopes is a part of Buffalo Sabres history, a metal and fabricating artist. Buttrey was commissioned by the Sabres to make a ceremonial Stanley Cup puck holder that has made its way into the locker room and has traveled with the team to Boston. As a lifelong Sabres fan, creating something that is central to the team's playoff mojo is beyond special for Buttrey.
I saw the post on Instagram when Lindy was talking after game one and how he mentioned, you know, how everybody was playing in that. And then when they displayed that puck holder, it was such a, you felt like you were in a dream. Like, it was just an amazing sight to see.
The 32-inch wide, 20-pound puck drop is made from steel, aluminum, and wood, and has a replica Stanley Cup surrounded by two swords and 16 puck holders, one for each victory needed to win the cup. Buttrey hopes he can meet Lindy Ruff and the team to help showcase his creation.
Because I knew it was going to be a part of Sabre history.
This is Jim Fink for WBEN.com News.
You can see what we're talking about by going to WBEN.com, looking at Jim's story at he was only asked on March 30th to make this.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
I mean,
well, they didn't want to get too far ahead of themselves.
That's true.
Right?
That's true. But a really cool thing. That,
it is.
I mean, you look at it and go, man, that's you hope to see that filled up with a whole lot of pucks by
for
the end
sure.
of this run.
And Iran has a new proposal for the U.S. as talks to end the war remain on ice.
Iran is reportedly offering to end its chokehold on the Strait of Hormuz, but it wants the American blockade of Iranian ports to be called off as well. Iran's Foreign Minister Abbas Araghchi is in Moscow today to seek support from Russian President Vladimir Putin. According to Axios, the new Iranian proposal puts off nuclear negotiations until a later stage. Over the weekend, President Trump cancelled a plan to send envoys to Pakistan for talks. He told Fox News Sunday Briefing that unless Iran agrees never to have a nuclear weapon, there's no reason to meet. Jonathan Savage, Fox News.
An auto industry trade group calling on Washington to replace the federal gas tax.
The federal gas tax for the Highway Trust Fund is 18.4 cents. It's been that for decades, and revenue from the gas tax has declined by 60% since 1993 when adjusted for inflation, also thanks to higher fuel efficiency and a lower share of gas-powered vehicles. With the Alliance for Automotive Innovation calling for the federal government to ditch the gas tax, replacing it with a weight tax that would ensure that everyone uses the roads to help pay for maintenance and infrastructure. Many states charge more to register EVs for that very reason. Jeff Manasso, Fox News.
Well, here's a heads up. An already busy area may be a bit more congested this week. WBEN's Tom Puckett on what you need to watch out for.
Benderson Development and Delta Sonic will begin work at their Transit Road location to replace existing asphalt in the driveway with concrete. The DOT's Ryan Whalen says that will mean traffic restrictions.
We are going to have to close two lanes, the two lanes that are going northbound there for approximately a month. And we're going to shift the northbound traffic into the center turning lanes.
Whalen says expect delays in both directions.
Also affects outbound traffic a little bit there because we are moving the northbound traffic into the center lane. That center turning lane will not be available for southbound traffic to turn. So it will have an impact a little bit in both ways, but primarily to the northbound traffic.
Hear more from Whalen online. Tom Puckett, WBEN.com News.
That is already just such a tough area to go through on a normal day.
Yeah, I avoid it usually.
Right.
I'm definitely avoiding it this week if I have to go out there anyway.
It's not even just this week. Reading Tom's story, it's going to last about a month. So there you go.
Yikes. A lot of those places near car washes need it too.
Right. Right where you exit the car wash.
Yeah. Did you hear about this over the weekend? The London Marathon. Not one, but two runners break the two-hour marathon barrier for the first time. The winner, with a world record time of 1 hour, 59 minutes, and 30 seconds, the runner-up, 1 hour, 59 minutes, and 41 seconds
Jeez.
In his debut marathon, both wearing Adidas shoes that go on sale today for $500.
Wow, you know how many runners are going to like to look up those?
Look for those at a 5K near you for
right.
everyone trying to get their preferred time.
That's incredible. Under 2 hours.
I saw that and I assumed that it was before I saw it was the London Marathon. I assumed it was Tim because you were at the Boston Marathon last
right.
week.
A week ago today. Yeah.
I just saw a sub 2 hour marathon. Like, wow, you know, way to go, guys.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he was over two.
That's well, so was
but
everybody
he was
else.
Under four.
There you go. You know, where he in actually, that range is not important.
Right. No, I mean, he actually did really well for his age
everybody
group and
else,
everything.
There's two people in the history of mankind who could say they were under two. And then everyone else is between two and four.
Right.
And so you're just
or
as good as everybody
more.
Else.
A lot of people yeah. are even over four.
Yeah, and then you got everyone else who's over that's, or doesn't try, and that's where I sit.
Well, me too. Yeah.
So, you know, not too bad.
No,
but
that's
that?
Amazing.
Under 2 hours?
And they have to share the spotlight with each other.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy that in one race, it's done. It never been done before, done by two people.
And to be that close, that's amazing.
Yeah, imagine running a sub 2 hour
yeah.
marathon.
No.
You finish 10 seconds
oh my
behind
God.
The
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The other guy.
Your exclusive WBEN 7 weather forecast. Mostly sunny skies today with temperatures near 70 degrees this afternoon. Tonight, clouds on the increase. Overnight lows near 50. We'll have a few showers pop up toward Tuesday morning. Some scattered showers. It'll be breezy on Tuesday with highs in the 60s. With your exclusive WBEN 7 weather forecast, I'm Chief Meteorologist Aaron Minkowski.
Jeff Rinaldo, security consultant and retired Buffalo police captain, is on the Bison Automotive Live Line. Security is in focus after the shooting this weekend outside the ballroom at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. Jeff, what were your immediate thoughts when you heard this?
Good morning, Susan. I was kind of surprised that the individual was able to get that deep into the inner perimeter with a weapon. Generally, when you look at these presidential setups like what we saw here in Buffalo years ago, there's a couple different layers of a perimeter that somebody has to go through, whether it's different types of screening, things of that nature. But this individual was able to enter the hotel with a firearm, so that I am curious to see the after action on it.
This hotel, I mean, it really kind of sets up for a tricky situation. We've learned that this person was checked into the hotel, so they would have certain access that, you know, maybe you wouldn't allow in a secure location.
Well, for sure. I mean, when you're commingling, a secured event in a somewhat public environment, there's a lot of challenges that come to that, or come with it, I should say. But again, you know, you generally have very tight perimeters with security screening starting well before that. And based on the one piece of video we saw, the individual kind of just ran through the checkpoint and wasn't stopped. What we don't see is how he actually eventually was stopped, whether that was a physical confrontation or, you know, he hit a locked door or something of that nature.
I mean, this kind of reminds me of the Mandalay Bay shooting in Las Vegas, you know, to a point. I mean, that obviously was a terrible outcome. There were dozens killed in that situation, but it was someone who stayed at the hotel, right?
Yeah. I mean, again, if you're going to try to carry out an attack, obviously access to the location is huge. And, you know, anytime that you're talking about something where there's readily available access to lodging or to stay where the event is being held, it's interesting that, some amount of screening of the hotel guest list, things of that nature might occur. But I think what this goes to show you really is that there's almost no way to prevent a lone wolf attack. I mean, I know that there's talk about family alerting the police to some intentions he may or may not have had, but you know, it's just such a monumental task that ultimately it just comes down to highly trained law enforcement officers doing what they're there to do, stopping the attack, stop the threat.
Obviously, there's been a lot of attention on this new ballroom that the president's been planning because of this, and one of the reasons is security and being able to have these events at a more secure location. Are you surprised with everything you know about security, how difficult it can be in that sort of setting, that something like this with, I mean, not just the president, but so many people in that line of succession, so many important cabinet members are all in one place at one time, that an event like this would be held at a hotel like that?
Well, I think, again, you know, it just comes down to the planning for the event. Obviously, Secret Service, local PD, probably spent a very considerable amount of time planning for an event, and they obviously felt that they had the venue secured. And ultimately, this individual did not get into the event. So I think that when you're talking about, you know, a new ballroom and things like that, unfortunately, that is where, times are going, that events like these with high-profile people are not going to be able to be held in public spaces. And that really is a shame, right? Because, you know, it's a bragging point for a location, for a hotel, to say that we've hosted, you know, presidential events or things of that nature. But at the end of the day, safety's first. And unfortunately, what we have seen here is that this particular president has had now potentially three assassination attempts on his life. So I think now security, there is just zero room for failure, and you're going to see extreme tightening now of anything where his presence is going to be.
And, you know, as you say, a third assassination attempt. I mean, two of them were outdoors, this one indoors. One is not better than the other, right?
No, you can definitely control an indoor event better. Again, we don't really know, and they're probably not going to tell us just how far this individual got before he was apprehended. But again, it's just the nature of the situation, that if you have somebody that's intent on trying to cause harm, they're going to be able to hurt somebody, even if it's not the intended target. I mean, in this case, a police officer was shot, and thankfully he's going to be okay. But, you know, these are just dangerous situations, and it shows that you can't ever let your guard down, because as you saw in the video on that checkpoint, nobody was expecting an armed man to come running through it, but somebody did.
Hey, you've seen these videos. What do you make of the Secret Service response from what you've seen?
Yeah, I mean, they were clearly on it. I believe after Pennsylvania, I'm willing to bet that a lot of work went into communications in terms of not only internally within the Secret Service and event, but also externally with the other law enforcement agencies that they rely on to help secure these venues. But obviously, this person was quickly detained, doesn't appear to be injured in the process. And, you know, Secret Service immediately removed the president, his wife, and the cabinet members from the venue. So it all comes down to the amount of training and expertise that they have.
Jeff, we appreciate it. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Jeff Rinaldo, security consultant, former Buffalo police captain, with us on our Bison Automotive Live Line.
That's the WBEN All Local. All new episodes are made available each weekday morning, produced by the award-winning WBEN Newsroom.